Well, good morning, everybody. All right, so good to be back with you. I want to tell you something, just honest truth, just honest disclosure, okay? I came the other week and I was in front, standing right here in worship and during service. And when I left here, I was so ministered to. I mean, I stood right there and said, God, thank you so much for this place, just for your presence is and where folks can minister to, because I was on the receiving side of it. And so thank you for just being a group who worships, who loves God, brings the presence, so receptive. And so it is good. And I'm excited about this series. I am so excited about this series. Because we're starting the series on the marriage fixer-upper. How many of you watch the fixer-upper shows? Huh? Yeah. How many of you are into the fixer-upper and you're flipping and doing some of that stuff? Yeah. But I want you to don't make a mistake, because we're fixing up marriages. We're not doing any flipping. We straight on that now? We're fixing up. And the bottom line is that wherever you are, we can use this stuff. Then in December, we'll celebrate 44 years of marriage. And yeah. And she's still got a few things she needs to straighten up. If I go to your house, I'll promise you that I can look around and see one or two things need to be fixed up. And I promise you, if you come to mine, you can find more than one or two. So whether you've been married 1 year, 2 years, or going on 50 or 60 years, we all got room to fix it up and do a little better, yes? All right, so that's what we're going to do in this series. And I just got high expectations. Dean and I were riding the other day, and we were riding yesterday in the car, and she said, I am so glad just to be with you. And she said, I just feel sorry for people who, like, they're married and they're just miserable. Or they don't like being together, or they don't like sitting together, or, you know, they just, somebody's aggravating and mad. I just love being with you. And she started, you know, patting my leg and stuff. I said, hold on, wait. Where did we get home? At least that's my story, and I'm sticking to it. But yes. But now let me get this straight, all right? Because anytime you go into something like this, there's always a chance. How many of you have failed in your marriage? How many of you have done dumb stuff? How many of you sort of can sit here and go, oh. Anybody but me? All right. Hey, we're not going there. All right, we're making it better. We're fixing it up, all right? This is not going to be weeks of shame and guilt and dumping on everybody. This is going to be weeks of hope, and let's figure it out, let's do better, and let's be happier and be more satisfied in marriage than we ever have been. What do you say? Deal? So don't be going guilt and shame on me, okay? We are going up. Yes, we're getting better. So, but the other thing is that they probably need to say to you is that we are going, anytime we do marriage stuff, and we always have, we've just been true to the Word, to the Bible. And how many of you know the Bible is really explicit when it comes to marriage, the marriage bed, what happens between couples? How many of you know it's really, really wide open? Yes? And so we're going to be as wide open as Scripture is. So if you have kids, let me just give you a heads up. If they are, say, preteen, you might want to just have them to go to children's church. That's your choice. But they probably know more than you think they know anyway. But we will be as explicit as the Bible says we are. All right? things can happen. I mean, even like today. I mean, the miracles can happen. I mean, God shows up and stuff goes on. I was thinking yesterday, I was putting some final touches on the message, and I was just thinking about a couple that I remembered their testimony. And so I called them up, and I said, I want permission to share. B, can you say yes, can you give me some details? Because it's been years and I've forgotten about it. So they shipped me some details. So this is what they said. They said, I had just gone to the doctor and figured out that I had postpartum depression. I was elated to know that at least there was help for me. I didn't know what was wrong with me before this. And so I was telling my husband, he came home and I explained to him that at least I was hopeful. And he then said to me, well, I'm moving out. I didn't see that coming, she says. And he didn't say, give me a reason why, except that he liked the old me better than the present me. And but he had never admitted that there was anyone else. He just left. That had carried on for about 9 months. We were separate. I was desperate. I tried everything to win him over. I was beyond stressed. My hair began to fall out. I'd lost 40 pounds. I was sick all the time. I thought about killing myself, but then I couldn't do that because of the kids. So I had gone to a church service with a friend, and didn't work too well in the nursery, and they asked me not to come back. So then she met somebody here in Cathedral and said, won't you come to our church? We've got beepers. You know what beepers are? If you have kids, you know what they are. The little things they give you when you, if they need you in the nursery, a bit of beep, and they can, you can go get your kids. So she said, well, I never heard of a beeper. But anyway, so I wasn't too sure about big churches, and when I came, they raised their hands, and that was a little crazy. He said, but this lady, I was with her friend, said, she had something, and I wondered what it was. And but then the message came, and she says, and during the message, you mentioned something about forgiveness and how more than once if people need forgiveness, you may have to come back and forgive them. I said, all that week, she said, I could not get away from it. And she said, on Friday, my husband came to the house, and we were going to sign the papers to sell our house, close out all of our bank accounts together. And he was tearful, she said, and that was sort of odd to me. I told him that I was going to a new church, and that now I felt peaceful. He asked if he could come one time. So I felt, well, that'd be good for him. At least the children will have a dad who goes to church. So he agreed and came over the next day to attend. That was when he also, the next day before church, admitted that he was having an affair. Said to me, at least that brought some resolve that there was a reason. But then I had to excuse myself and go cry. And then we went to church. Said it was weird. You were on the stage and you were talking, and you were talking about so much stuff that was so much our stuff until he got furious because he was positive that I had talked to him, to me. And now I had brought him and I had just changed the name but given their situation. So she says, after church, said, first thing I had to do was convince him, I don't know that pastor from Adam, and I didn't tell him one thing. Went back to church the next Sunday. Went up to the first man we saw, which was Bob White, who was a pastor on staff. Now, many of you know Pastor Bob, who retired. We told him who we were and asked him what should we do. Just so happened, he happened to be the head of the marriage ministry. And said, first thing you ought to do is go to the marriage ministry. Second thing you ought to do is he needs to get involved in a men's group. She said, we did both. And he said, God used the church to lead us on our path. She said, now, years and years and years and years later, let me just say that my husband is perfect for me. I could not ask for a better one. But the guy I married is not the one I have today. He's exceedingly more than I could ever imagine. Boom, there you go. Miracles still happen, yes? And why this is so important, friends, is this the centerpiece of all creation and of all society, anywhere. It is goes back to the marriage. I mean, the marriage was set apart by God before kids ever got here. It's the marriage. Before we talk about family, it's the marriage. Before we talk about government, it's marriage. Before we talk about the church, it's marriage. I mean, it's the very onset of creation. There's two things you find in the early chapters of Genesis. One is rest, which is the Sabbath, as a sacrament, as a big deal. The next one is marriage, the sanctity of marriage. It's what everything stands on. It is the most important. No wonder the enemy fights you so much, yes? No wonder sometimes it gets so hard. I mean, it's because the Bible says that when two come together, they become, say it with me, one. Now, there's a fight for that oneness. There's a fight, and I'll show you some reasons why in a moment. But it creates this setup where the enemy tries his best to tear apart what is, in fact, my friends, the very image of God. Let's look in Genesis and begin in chapter 1. Verse 27, it says, so God created man, say it with me, in his image, okay? The image of God, he created this Adam, this first one, he created him what? Male and female, he created him. And the Lord said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make a helper, it says, comparable to him. Out of the ground, the Lord formed every beast of the field and every bird of the air and brought them to Adam to see what he would call them. And whatever he called them, the living creatures, that was their name. So Adam gave names to all the cattle, to all the birds of the air, to all the beasts of the field. Look at this next sentence. But for Adam, there was not found what? A helper. I'll come back and we'll revisit that one. And the Lord caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam, and he slept. And he took out his rib, and he closed it up and made flesh. I know some of y'all believe that God put Adam to sleep and took his brains out and made Eve, but that is not what he says. That is not what the Bible says. And then the rib which the Lord took for him, had taken from man, he made into woman, and he brought it to the man. And Adam said, this is now, say it with me, bone of my bones, and what? Flesh of my flesh, and she shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore, the man shall leave the father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall be one flesh. Could I just pause for a moment and put marriage where it needs to be? It's before children. It's before parents. You leave, and you what? Cleave. Why? Because marriage is the ultimate. It's not parenthood. It's not child to parent. It's husband and wife. They're the top of the ladder, friends. That's why you should leave. And both were naked, and the man and his wife, and they were not ashamed. Now, I want you to imagine with me, if you will, for a moment, God creating all of creation, and every single thing he created, he would come by and say, it was good. He created this, and it was good, and this was good, and this was good. Everything was good. I mean, and if you want to know what good kind of looks like, you can go to the New Testament, the book of Galatians, and look at what the fruit of the Spirit is. Because in this atmosphere that God created, you had love and joy and peace. You had all the fruits of the Spirit of God that were dominant there. It was good. Then you find this one thing. Then you find that Adam was not totally good. And God started recognizing it. And God said, it is not good for man to be alone. Now, let me stop and say that there are some people called to not get married, but it's very, very few. For the dominant of all of us, this statement is true. It's not good for mankind to be alone. Now, I want you to imagine with me, now God knowing that about Adam, and the journey starts. And it's interesting that God picked up on it and said what he said, because as I was studying this, those of you who are here and you're not married, God started downloading stuff to me that was almost more stuff for you than married couple for this service. I just thought that was fascinating, because it was right about this point in my preparation that it hit me that those of you who are single, God knows where you are. The moment he walked up to Adam, he said, I didn't forget about you. I know what's going on inside of you. I know how it feels. I know where you are. I see you. I'm with you. You have not been forgotten. I know exactly where you are and what's going on with you, and I know exactly how you feel. Step number one, identification with, I'm with you. I understand. And it's not good to be alone. I get it. I'm with you. And then the next thing that was interesting is that then he created the animal kingdom. And he formed them just like Adam out of the dirt. And he made all the animals. And then because Adam was the ruler, so to speak, God had given him dominion, then God told him, you name your animals because they're yours. They're on earth and you have dominion. Name them. And so he named them, but more was going on than just naming animals. Because at the end of that sentence, you remember it said, and there was not found what? And then all of a sudden it hit me that a lot of time when people start looking for their mates and looking for stuff, they look for, what does the old song say? They look for love in all the wrong places. And then it hit me. See, animals don't have spirits. And so they don't go like we understand the marriage bed, the sacredness. When you have sexual relations with somebody, you become one with them. That's the reason it's the marriage bed. That's the reason it's holy and it's sacred. But you remove the spirit dimension and all you end up with is animalistic stuff. So you end up with people going, having relationships, stuff happening that's not higher hardly than the animal kingdom, looking to be fulfilled, looking to satisfy, and it never does because they're not spirit being. It's without morals. It's without the confines of sacredness. But that's what happened. They looked in the animal kingdom, but it was not found. And friends, can I say, you will never find it either. You'll never find it out there. I mean, it always amazed me. They're looking for good, moral people who hang around places and do stuff that's immoral, and somehow think they're going to change when they get married. Can I just say, the next thing happened I find interesting is that after the search, after he had searched and not found, finally, God said, I'll take over. And you know what he did? He put Adam to sleep. He put him to sleep. And then the Bible says he took the side of Adam, the rib, and he went over and he made, the Hebrew word is literally built. He built Eve. Now, I want you to watch this with me. Watch this with me. God the Father created Adam. And Adam was male and female. And then he goes to Adam, puts him asleep, and takes out of Adam the female. And takes it out and forms it fully into a person. Now, watch this with me. Into a person. Now, when he does, can you imagine God the Father? He created Adam, but now he's creating his daughter. And he makes his daughter, and he makes his daughter totally complete to be able to fit with Adam. Can you imagine this dad standing back when he finishes making his daughter? And she is beautiful. I mean, the glory of God is there on her, and she's beautiful. And God must have said, wow, I do good work. But then he takes his daughter, and he brings his daughter and presents his daughter to Adam. Most every time we do a ceremony, who walks down the aisle with the bride? And we ask the question, who presents this woman to be married, and who says it? You get that picture of God the Father. Now he's bringing his daughter to Adam. You think he gave kind of Adam a scheme, kind of a look like, I'm watching you, boy. You mess with her. But he presents, and I want you to watch this with me. Because when he brings her, Adam looks at Eve and sees himself in Eve. He sees, he identifies something, obviously, that's been taken from him. Because when he looks at Eve, he says, that is bone of my bone and what? Flesh. I see me in her. It's the counterpart of me that God's removed from me. That now marriage is about us now becoming one again. Bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh, and the two shall become one. Marriage. But see, that's the reason why, friends, you see these two merging together. Let's look at the slides on this. Let me just get a good picture in your mind. The slides on this. I want you to look at this first one. This is Hebrew for man. It's Ish and Isha for woman. So this was all one. And now Adam is humankind, which is male and female. He created them. But then he takes Adam and divides Adam. And you have the Adam. Anybody ever heard about the splitting an atom? And then you have Adam split. You have Adam split, and now they become two. And now marriage is about them becoming one. But now here's the deal. The full spectrum of God is now not represented in one individual as male. It's represented in one individual as male and also the what? The totality of God. Is it all masculine? Yes or no? No. Is it all feminine? No. Then the image, how many of you agree we are the image bearers of God? But it takes marriage to be the true image bearers of the totality of God. Make sense to you? Go with me? That's the reason why we're the image bearers. And people should look at us and look at marriage and get an idea of what God is like. To look at you and say, wow, that's satisfaction. That is completeness. That's wonder. I can see God in them. Now, I see it. But that's also the reason why the goal of the two becoming one requires selflessness. Because if you're selfish, you're not going to make room for the other. Well, Mike, you don't know how bad he is. No. You get the right person who can fix that house up, and you'll see an old dump. But a right person will look at that house and go, that's a gorgeous baby right there. When I get finished with that thing, that's going to be a gorgeous house. Beauty is in the eyes of what? The beholder. In God's eyes, when he sees this, he sees the two becoming one flesh, which is him. Does it remind you of an image in the New Testament where Jesus is hanging on a cross? What comes from his side? His blood that birthed his church, which is to be his bride. Image goes all the way back. As marriage is, in fact, Jesus said, talked about it. It's the imagery. Genesis opened with a marriage, and guess what happens in Revelation when we close everything up? Guess what it closes with? A marriage. It's a marriage supper of the Lamb. And so that's the reason why, friends, this fight is so much. I mean, it is the enemy. It does everything he can to take the totality of God represented on earth, and he tries to make it any way he can make it other than what it was created to be. Anything outside, to all kind of weird things, everything else except the sanctity of a man and a woman coming together to be the image bearers of God Almighty. Well, Mike, you don't see my situation because that thing I got. Well, friends, sometimes injury happens and sometimes bones get displaced and they have to have help because if they're not separated, they're not right, they're aligned, they don't get the blood flow they need. You know the marvelous thing about marriage? I think for anybody that's a Christ follower, because I think the Christ followers, they have parts of themselves that they will find, and God will lead them to them to be their mate. It's not just by chance. It's not just by what we call this thing falling in love. I think there's a lot more to it than that. I mean, I want you to picture with me a small little boy in outside of Conway in a little farming community called Pawley Swamp playing under a porch in the sand. Anybody ever? No, nobody here is old enough to understand. Or you never was raised out on a farm where you have a little pile of dirt and a little hole in the middle of it and you could take a little straw and do that and a little critter would come up and get the little thing. And nobody remembers that. Yeah, y'all city folks. Playing under a porch. Now, in Conway, South Carolina. I remember riding my horse to town to be in the parade. Did not 9 years in school there, in ninth grade, mom and dad moved. And now we're over in Marion. Graduated from high school. By that time, mom and dad had moved to a little community called Johnsonville, Johnsonville Hemingway. So I went and moved home with them. Went to Francis Marion College for a while. And then all of a sudden, I'm in a friend's house. And I'm sitting there. And Dean comes walking in. I dated a lot of people. She had dated a lot of people. She had graduated by that time from Carolina. And in walks bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. How in the world does that happen? How do you take two people and then cause them to be joined together? Friends, only God. Only God. But when you're talking about the fight in society, because friend, you don't just take my bone of my bone and separate it and leave it over there somewhere. No, that's bone of my bone. That is somebody that God's joined. He has split, and I see me in them. They are my helper. They complement, they complete me. They're God's gift to me. For every single one of you, what fight the enemy has fought to not let you step into and to enjoy, if you're married, to enjoy the fulfillment and the purpose of God that brought your mate to you. I'm believing this series is going to help raise the bar. For those of you who are not married, I want to just say to you, this series will just, I think, help you tremendously. Because can I say to you, rest, sleep. Let God be God. And when the time is right, God will build an Eve for you or an Adam for you. But you don't have to go out and you don't have to run them down. The example is God making somebody and then bringing them to Adam. How many of you agree that'd be a wonderful thing, huh? All right, and so what I'm going to ask you to do right now is in a moment we're going to pray. And I'm going to pray for every marriage here. And part of what I'm going to pray is this, just to give you a heads up. I had a good friend of mine, and here's what good friends do. This good friend of mine brought me this. He made this little wedge, and he brought it to me. And he said, Mike, he said, I feel like the enemy's trying to build a wedge between us. And I want to make this and bring it to you and say to you, it's not going to happen. That's a good friend, isn't it? Now, here's what I want to worship around. We're going to start the healing process in all of our lives today. But I'm going to believe wedges that the enemy had built down over the years, disappointments and hurts, things that he has built down in your life to try to keep you from being all that God's called you to believe. I believe the day is the day that he's going to begin to pull those wedges out and set you free. You agree with me? Let's stand and worship. Now come back in a moment. We'll pray together.